Those are your prayers. I'd like to start this morning in Genesis, first chapter. In the 26th verse, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I don't know altogether what that means, but it's pretty significant, I think, that God created man in his own image. Nothing else he said he did that with. God created everything. I know God does everything right. But if I'd have created, there's a lot of things that I wouldn't have created that he did. I don't particularly like rattlesnakes. That's probably not something that I would have done. First night we got into the trailer over here, which I appreciate, that's a very nice place to stay. But I was sitting there on the couch, and just now my wife was jumped 2 feet right up into it and let out a screech and hollered, "Mouse!" I know they're a major part of the food chain, but they've done nothing but cause me trouble. They've chewed through the walls at home. They've got into stuff. We come home sometime and they're getting the bread bag sometimes, and they'll leave sign across the counter if they get in there. And I'm not sure I would have made them, but the Lord did, and I know he does everything right. But he said of mankind and all that he created, he said of mankind that he created him in his own image. Man has sure went a long ways from that. Sin has sure took mankind a long ways from the image of God that God created him to be. God didn't make people to do what they do. He didn't make them to pack sin and the guilt of sin and the trouble of sin. And I hear all the time about people taking their own life. What would get into a person that would cause them to want to destroy themselves? I'm sure God in the creation in his image, a part of that wasn't the idea of destroying themselves. But they do it. They do. People destroy themselves quickly, or sometimes they do it over years of bad habits. God never created people to have bad habits. God never created a man to hate. It wasn't a part of what he created. God is love, and I think he created people with the capacity to love, not hate. God didn't make us to be like the animals are. But people are like animals. And it seemed like the further history goes, the further we go, the more animalistic people get. Biting and snarling and devouring one another. Hating and despising one another. I've got a couple little dogs. They run pure off of instinct. But those two little dogs seem like they enjoy having one another. I mean, they seem like it, if you can say a dog would do something like that. They like to be together. If they get their chance, they'll be together. They seem like they like to curl up close to one another and sleep together. But if you put food out into a bowl, I got one of them that would starve the other one to death if he could get his way. He'll stand, he'll come and put brace himself over the food bowl and stand there and growl and keep the other one from food. After he eats all he wants, he'll still lay there and keep the other dog from getting any of the food if he can. Because he's an animal and he don't register that is that he don't like the other dog. It's just an instinct in him that does that, a self-preservation, that he's going to get the food for himself if he can. And he don't have any guilt over doing that. And when they get through, and do you know the one that don't get any food don't hold no grudge against the one that kept him from getting it? They'll just go and play and romp and seem like they're just fine with it. And one don't feel guilt and the other don't feel bitter over it. They're just animals. But God made us better than that. God created men different than that. We're not hogs that has no discipline or guilt. We're not dogs that can bite and snore on that. God didn't make us to do those type things and not have something wrong inside us that's going to destroy us eventually. We're not made like that. God made man in His own image. And in the image, He made us that we should be like He is in love, in pureness, in holiness. That's the way God made us. But you know the old story. Mankind was plunged into sin. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't anyone that hasn't. There's only been one person that ever walked this earth that didn't have it. And He's the answer to all our problems. The Lord wants you and I to return back to the image that He created mankind to have the beginning. I say again, what would make a person get him some guns and go to a grade school? I can think of no more innocency than a grade school. Small children to be innocent. What would make a person get his guns and go to a place like that and just indiscriminately start shooting? Destroying? Well, we all would say something had to have snapped. Well, it snapped. But there's a lot of things snapped in our world today. People that's willing to destroy one another. I don't understand it totally. I can partially understand in war. I can understand seeing a figure off at a distance and pulling the trigger. I can understand somewhat flying over in an airplane and indiscriminately not knowing to pull a trigger to drop a bomb that's going to blow up, that's going to kill people underneath there that I don't have any connection with. To some degree, I can understand that kind of impersonal things. I can understand that. But I cannot understand someone that could take a knife and stab someone to death. 50, 60 times stabbing them. I can't understand the mindset that would do that. I can't understand the mindset that people get into that it's okay to take a baby that's almost ready to be born and allowing that baby to be born and killing it in the process. I can't understand the process of a doctor that can take a baby while it's living and take a pair of forceps and snip it in behind and snip its neck behind its head and kill it. I know I'm being graphic, folks, but this is what humanity has got to. I don't understand it totally. How that you could get to the place that you could be so impersonal as that without any feelings that you may not like me and say, I'm going to get that guy, but do you realize what you're going to affect if you do? I've got children that are depending on me. I've got little children that's going to be touched. A wife that's going to be touched. How can humanity get to the place to live like animals. Totally live like animals. But we're doing it all the time. Men do it all the time in the abuse of women. And even to the young, follow me here. But young girls get to a certain age and are taken advantage of. That's running a life. That's just animalistic to take somebody that's got such a future and got so much ahead of them and just take them and abuse it. That's nothing different than an animal would do. Without guilt, without shame. Just do whatever they can do to eat, to further that, and that's all they do without any of that. And that's what humanity is more and more going to. That's why the Scripture says, I think was using this already over there in Timothy, where it says, in the last days perilous times shall come. And people will be unthankful, unholy. They'll be fierce people. Fierce, it says. You know, the last day it says people will be fierce. They'll be unholy, unthankful, ungodly, shameless people. That's all because there's a movement away from God. Why does people so hate the Ten Commandments that they'd want them removed? Our Christian nation, founded on these principles, many courthouses had published in them the Ten Commandments. I say, as Brother Salmon said, which one of them harms you? Which one of them is bad for society? They're all good, aren't they? But which one of them really is the one that we would take them down for? Oh, that thou shalt not commit adultery gets a lot of people. How dare you lay that kind of a rule on me? But the further we move away from God, the more animalistic we become. Without rules or without ways of conduct. We're living in a time now that there is a great push, not only in the United States, we're kind of the last holdouts, but worldwide there is a push to accept same-sex marriage. God condemns it. Not just the marriage part. He condemns the whole thing. As animalistic. As people that go away from what God created us to be. But I want to say today that every one of us has, at some point in our life, went away from God. And we're not what we ought to be. But God made a way to return us back to what He created us to be. Not just an animal, because the truth of it is we are animal somewhat. We have flesh. We are a fleshly being. That's not what God made in His image. What God made in His image was what we have inside. He made us to be upright. He didn't make us liars. I don't think Adam and Eve lied to one another. In the beginning. I think they did after sin came in. He didn't make us murderers. That wasn't the way people would deal with their problems. Until after sin came in. And then that was the way to deal with problems. But the Lord made a plan today. And that's what I want to think about today. I want to think about the Lord's ability to make us whole. To make us soar again. To be able to elevate us out of that animalistic stage, that stage to where I'm going to growl my brother off the food bowl. I'm going to do everything that I can for me regardless of what it does for you. My selfish inclinations and desires, He wants to elevate every one of us above that through the plan of salvation. I'm going to tell you today, Jesus is the answer. You might say, to what question? I'm going to say, to every question. Jesus is the answer to the questions of your life. Jesus is the way to elevate you back up. Real peace and joy will never come in the fact that you are bigger than your brother and can growl him off the bowl. You may say, I get the bowl, but it will never bring peace and satisfaction and joy into your life to really be that way. And the Lord has a plan to elevate us above ourselves. Today, He wants to be able to lift us back up into a way that's right and holy for us, and a way that is peaceful and kind, to where now instead of being growling off the bowl, so to speak, to where I'm opening it up. That's what God intended man to be. when He created them. When my oldest daughter was a little girl, she was playing, you probably heard me tell this, I've told it many times, an example that I got off of it. She was playing with a balloon. And her balloon burst on her. I was at work, and her balloon burst, so her mother told her, or she was trying to comfort her, and my little girl said, "Oh, it's all right, Mommy. Daddy will fix it when he gets home." I tell you what, I had tinkered with a lot of her little toys, and I had taped some things, and I'd wired some things, and I'd glued some things, and soldered some things. But when my wife told me what she said, I was really challenged. How are you gonna fix a balloon? I was challenged, Brother Tommy. My daughter has confidence in me enough to say to her, "Mommy, it's okay. Daddy will fix it when he gets home." Boy, I started thinking, you can't glue it. You can't tape it. You can't wire it. You couldn't solder it. I found out something and got a real lesson there. There's things that break that I can't fix. I run into my limit right there. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord don't run into His limit. The Lord can make your balloon hold air again. Broken lives, dysfunctional people. Listen, folks, many of us have had some foundation of God. I say most of the people in this building today have a foundation of God in their life that has meant something. No matter where you've went into sin, probably there's been somewhat of a foundation of God. Do you realize that there's people in our world that have no foundation of God or of spiritual things at all? None. And do you realize that their lives have been broken? They're dysfunctional. They don't know how. The only thing that they was taught was they were taught to be selfish, to do it on your own, to make it on your own. They don't have a basis even. Lord, help us, because as we look at the people around us, we need to realize that the answer for their lives is Jesus Christ. They're dysfunctional. The only thing some people see, I know an instant, I'll give you an example. I know some people that ever since I've known them, a couple, they're divorced now, the couple's divorced. But as I knew them, I kept hearing the reports that the police was being called. They'd get into a spat, and the police would end up being called. And next time I'd heard, they'd be separated, and they'd get into a fight about something, and the police would be called. And it was like that. And as these their children grew up seeing the police was called. No doubt these little faces was looking out the window and out into the street, and they'd be out there a-fighting, and they'd be a-cussing, and they'd be a-swearing and a-fighting at one another, and the police would get called. Well, the children grew up. And you know what I started hearing? They grew up, and all of a sudden, young girl, she gets pregnant, she has a child, and the guy that she was living with, now he's separated, they're kind of estranged now, and now they're fighting, and now they're out in the street, they're cussing at one another, and guess what? They call the police. Because that's the only thing they know. It's the way life was. Mommy showed her how to go out there in the street and cuss and swear and get her what? They see that. That's life to them. Do you know they hardly know anything else? God didn't make them like that. God's got something so much better than this dysfunctional way of living. They can have a happy home. They can have a happy existence. They can have peace in their life. They can have better things, but they don't know what they are. But the Lord wants us to take advantage. The Scripture says that we... what does it say? About taking advantage of the grace of God. We can not take advantage of what God has given us. Therefore, we should take advantage of the grace of God. I want to look at another scripture over in Luke. The 8th chapter of Luke. In the 26th verse, it says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devils into the wilderness." Do you know God did not create that man like that? That wasn't God's original in his own image. Was this man in the image of God? No, this man was in the image of the devil that had taken advantage of him. And folks, I don't know how all that works that a person can get there other than giving themselves over to those kind of spirits. I don't know how else a man would get to those kind of things, but I want to say that God never created man to be able to do that. That wasn't what he intended. I mean, he come to make a way that a man can be changed from that. He takes the old filthy habits. I want you to know today, if you've got habits in your life that's unlike God, Jesus made a way for you to get rid of those things. There's a power in God to be able to be lifted back up to what God originally made in His own image. God made that to be that. You don't have to be dysfunctional. You don't have to say, I'd like to be this way, but I can't because I allowed myself to get into some things and now I can't get out of it. Well, you truly can't. But God made a way that you can. God never intended made in His own image for us to be chained by habits. If you have a smoking habit, it can be broken. If you have a drinking habit, it can be broken. If you've got just habits of whatever they are, the Lord made a way through Christ to break that chain and put you back on the right way, in the right thought process. In His image, you could never tell me that in His image would mean that you would be bound to something like that. Because it was higher than that. This man ended up with the devils. It's hard for me to imagine. But there was something supernatural about it that chains wouldn't hold him. He could break the chains loose. But the Lord came by. It says, "And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him." Legion. There's so many of them there. It looks impossible. What are you going to do with a guy like this? Our world, it isn't diagnosed by the physicians. It isn't diagnosed by the psychologist. Where did devil possession go? Was it only in the time of the Bible? Is there still a devil? Is there still spirits? Would they be willing to go into a man? Perhaps we have a world full of them. Perhaps they're all out there. Is there any hope for us? Is there any hope for giving yourselves to those kind of things? There's a hope yet. Oh, there's a hope. There's still a hope. I don't know of anybody. I can say a few, but this man was legion. Because there was many of them in there. And a legion, I think, was 10,000 or 12,000 of them. Legion. Many, many spirits there. But yet the Lord was undaunted with that. It didn't scare the Lord off. And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here was a man that from all appearance was the hopeless, taken totally advantage of, dysfunctional, totally, totally dysfunctional in society. Now, he couldn't have held a job, could he? He couldn't have planted a garden. He couldn't have done anything worthwhile in society, so he run around naked and like a madman, he run around, but God never created man like that. And God wanted to restore him to something better in the creation that God had made. And Jesus commanded these spirits to be gone. And when they were gone and they come back to see this man, what did they find? Clothed. A man clothed, which we ought to be, and in his right mind. A man restored back. It is the whole gospel plan to restore a man back to what he should be, to make him whole again, make him to be able to think right. This man couldn't think right thoughts. He could only think bad thoughts. There was a time in history before the flood. The Scripture says that the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. Folks, do you know we're madly rushing to a place like that in our world? That the thoughts and the intents are only, the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart are only evil continually. Not able to look upon the other gender without lust. That kind of thing is just permeating our society. Go to any grocery store, no doubt, in Holly Hill, and see if the magazines in there is suggestive of those things. There would have been a time that society would have said, you can't put that picture up here. But now it is so commonplace, and nobody even blushes anymore. Nobody even cares about those kind of things. Big billboards that say things. Just promoting this stuff, promoting it, promoting it. It's out there so much. That's the way our world is going. But folks, listen, there's still a Savior today. There's still one that can take that soul and bring it back and clothe it and put it back in its right mind. This man was the example of that. I want to go on with this. It says, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes around about besought him to depart from them. You hear what that says? Here these people came and they saw a man that was totally dysfunctional. He could not live in society because he was so bad. He was a terrible case. And they come back and they look and see this man clothed and in his right mind. But they didn't glorify God, did they? You would have thought they would have said, this is the greatest thing. This man that came here done something that nobody else could do. It sure is a blessing to have him around. Folks, you tell me what bad thing Jesus Christ brings to the United States of America. What corruption? What harm does he do? And yet, why is there so much of the multitude wanting to get rid of Jesus? They don't even want nativity scenes out anymore. They're fighting everything that has to do with Jesus. And I say, why? I'm going to tell you why. These people were swine herders. That's why. When Jesus allowed them to go into the swine, they run off and killed themselves in the sea. They lost a big herd of swine. Now, we eat pork. But in the Bible day, that was a very... Pork was an unclean animal, and it was considered by the Jews to be a very nasty creature. That had the whole stink of sin was wrapped up in the hog, the flesh. They were forbidden against it. These people were hog herders. Folks, Jesus is amazing, but it costs you something. You want to be saved? It's going to cost you your swine. It's going to cost you your flesh. Jesus saves the soul at the expense of the flesh. I can't just do, I will say this right, because if I say I can't just do anything I want, that's not really true in salvation. I do exactly what I want in salvation. I can't follow the flesh and be saved. It's going to cost you something. When I run onto this passage of Scriptures, and it was years, just recently I run onto that, the thought that they asked Him, besought Him, begged Him to leave. Here Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes, which was idolaters, and they needed salvation among them, and Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes to take the gospel, the good news to them. And they turn around and ask Him to leave. We don't want what you've got. You leave. And there is something that is, folks, I want us to understand this today. When you ask the Lord to leave, He leaves. God, this is a voluntary thing. This is a thing that you've got to want. They asked the Lord to leave, so He left. And that is the unfortunate truth for our whole land. When people start saying, we don't want your commandments on our wall. We don't want to know the nativity. We don't want to see the cross. We don't want to be delivered from our adultery. We like it. We don't want to be delivered from our fornication. We like our fornication. We don't want to be delivered from the habits that we have in our life because we like our habits in our life. Then you'll stay with your habits in your life. Jesus left the land of the Gadarenes just the way they were. But for the honest soul that may have arrived, Him and His mercies did do something. This man wanted to go with the Lord. And the Lord told him no. You stay here and witness the good things of God. Although they said leave to Jesus, He left, but He left them with the... there was always an avenue. And I believe to the honest soul, there is always a way to go back. Jesus has been responsible for the healing of many marriages, of many relationships. You know where He always works? He always works in humility. Always humbling the heart to be able to come back to those places. I appreciate so much the Lord. I want to look at another scripture in the 35th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to start with the first verse. There's quite a bit of reading, but I'm going to start with the first verse. It says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God, with recompense, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the wilderness shall break out in, or the wilderness shall waters break out in streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there. Now, a highway shall be there. A highway. A highway is was a path or a way, a road. It was the way people traveled, a way. And it said a highway, one pass up. Now, in the state of West Virginia, Interstate 79 that starts at Charleston and goes through the panhandle in the northern part up next Morgantown. Interstate 79, I understand, costs more to build than the whole interstate system of Iowa. And I don't doubt it a bit because it goes through the mountains. And they made a highway. It's called Cut and Fill. Where it was too high, they cut it down. And they put the material in the valley. And so they cut and fill. They cut and filled the whole way. You can get on 79 now and you're not hindered by the ups and downs of the mountains. You may gradual a little, but it's a little windy in places, but not bad. It's a great big wide road. They made that for something. They didn't make it. There's not speed limits on there that says 25 miles an hour. There's no speed limits on there 35 miles an hour. Because they made a road with the intention of somebody going somewhere. You can get on there, and you can take off, and you can go. That's what they were made for. It's what it was designed for. And I'll say this, but what if you had an old car? Maybe the plugs are going bad and they're missing a little bit and you're kind of sputting. And maybe it needs the carburetor adjusted a little. Maybe not getting the right air. And you get out on that and you just kind of bounce along. Maybe putting you ever had. I've had those vehicles. But jumping along. Maybe you can get up to maybe 40 at the most going downhill. It's not the road's fault. It's not the road's fault. They make these cars today to run. They all run pretty good these days. And you look at my van, you'd say that's not much of a hot rod. But I'm going to tell you, that van will outrun any of the old cars I had. The motor's made to run. And they'll run. But when they start not running, you've got to do something with them. They need tuned up. They need to be put back. They need to be maintenance or done something with it. When I push down on the gas in that van, regardless of the hill that I'm on, I've never been on one yet, that I don't run down on it, no matter what the load is, that I've got to let off of it before I go very far because I'm going to be more than I can drive. Because that thing, it'll run. It was made to run. Do you know that you were made to run? You were made to, in the image of God, to be something of integrity, of honesty, of uprightness. You wasn't made to be a liar. You wasn't made to growl and snarl. You wasn't made for that. You was made to be a peaceful part. You was made to be in the image of God, to love and to enjoy. That's what God made you to be. And God wants to return you back to something that can do something. It can run in the ways of holiness. It says, and there is a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It's not for the defiled. It's for the undefiled. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring man. You know what a wayfaring man is? He's somebody that's gone somewhere. You know, as Christians, we're going somewhere, folks. We got our eyes set. We're going somewhere. We're travelers. We're traveling through life. I can't remember this song, but there's a song that says something about made to fly high again, to soar. And thinking about, you see these, pardon?
Healing in Jesus.
Healing in Jesus. And it talks about being able to fly high, soar high again. God, make you soar high again. These birds are pitiful. Out in Oklahoma City Zoo, they got a bald eagle out there. And he was damaged. I think the sign says he was hit by a truck or something. They had got him. He lived, But his arm, his wing will never do it again. And so, he sits there on the ground. They don't have much of a thing for him because he can't go nowhere. And you look at this poor creature and you think, that's not what he was made to do. He ain't made to run around. You see him, he's awkward walking around. He wasn't made for the ground, folks. It wasn't where he was at. He's dysfunctional. He's able to live. He goes around, he eats his food. He hops up on things. But is that what he was made to do? This creature has eyes that he can see miles with. And he's in a cage about 25 feet. He can't see nowhere. But he's got eyes. The potential that he has is there. He's got eyes that can see. But you know, he can't get up there to where he can see miles off. Do you know we're like, God made us a great intelligence? Now, some of us less than others. But God still made us the crowning feature of His creation, an intelligence. Folks, do you know that most people never tap into the ability that they have to understand, really understand? Because they're so swamped, so overrun with just the things of this earth that they never see above it. That poor old eagle never gets in flight anymore. And of all the animals in cages that I see out there, some of them don't bother me a bit. They got some gophers out there. Those gophers, they dig a hole in the ground and they pop their head up out of the ground and back down in there. They're just as home there in that cage as they can be. It's a pretty good size little thing there. That don't mean nothing. They're right at home. Got an old tortoise out there. He ain't going nowhere anyway. He's doing what he was designed to be, but that eagle, that's not what he was made to do. That eagle was made to be a speck in the sky. He was made to fly high. And folks, we're made to fly high spiritually. We're made to be above all this stuff. We're made to have to be honorable, to have integrity, to be able to love, to go above the old natural sin world. We wasn't made to be a habitation of devils. We was made to be the habitation of the Holy Ghost, the temple of God, of the living God, not full of habits, not full of destruction, but full of the Holy Ghost. That's what we were designed for. We was designed to have to fellowship God in the cool of the evening without any guilt. We'd be able to be before God and know that all is well. That's what we was made to be. We wasn't made like an animal. The Lord will make you till you can fly high again. He made a highway. A way of traveling through this life above. And I still believe it today. I believe that there is an experience in the Lord that's above this old world. People say, well, you've got to live this way. You've got to live that way. As Brother Salmon just say, you tell me what sin I have to commit. There's no sin. I don't have to cheat. I don't have to steal. I don't have to lie. I don't have to lie and be above that. I was created better than that. And by the grace of God and the blood of Christ, I can return back to that. I can live above that. I can look all my fellow men in the eye because I've not lied to them. I've not cheated them. I can stand honorably. Read a thing in Streams in the Desert a while back about birds. It was saying these birds that soar, it said in order to get high, to really get the height, they don't fly with the wind. They fly against it. Anybody that's ever flown a kite knows that as the wind hits against it, it drives the kite higher. It's against the wind. It takes effort. It takes some energy. But a bird that's still going to soar high turns himself into the wind to get lift. And it'll lift them higher and higher. As that wind pushes this way, it pushes them up against the wind. You know, it's kind of like that living spiritual lives. To live for the Lord, you've got to go against the wind of the world. The wind of the world wants to free course you. It wants you to just float along. It takes energy to go upstream. But they say any old dead stick will float down it. But it takes something to go up it, to fight against the current. But the Lord's made us better than that. God wants to do something with your life today. If you've got broken pieces, the Lord can put your puzzle back together. Oh, don't bring me a bag of pieces. I'd be like that in my daughter's balloon. I won't know where to start on a broken life. But Jesus knows exactly how to put that all back together again. If you've lost the valuable things in your life, the Lord knows how to get them back. I want to look at another scripture in 61st chapter of Isaiah. Jesus fulfilled this scripture in the 4th chapter of Luke, 18th verse. But this is the way it says it here. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." You know, so many people are bound by their own doings, by the things that are around them, by habits, by the social things. Like I've said, so many poor people. I have such a pity in my heart for young people, knowing that many of those young children are coming up to an age that they're soon going to lose their innocency. They're going to go out and get into things that will change and alter their lives for the rest of their lives. And Lord, have mercy on our young people that are about to make decisions in their life. Because one decision can make such a heartache for the rest of their life. But the Lord said that He come to set the captives free. There is people that are enchained by so many elements of this world. But the Lord came to set open the prison doors. And again, I wonder, oh, wouldn't it be something? Take that old eagle, if you could do something with that wing, and throw him up in the air and see him take off again, doing what he was made to do. And the Lord can do that with every one of our lives. It says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Beauty for ashes. Ashes, after something's burned, there's nothing left in their good. Nothing but ashes. Ashes is the byproduct of the fire, all burnt up. Lives get that way. There's people that run their lives like that and burn themselves completely up. I'm thinking of a young girl that I knew. She was a family member of mine. She got up into her teenage years. Sad situation. Home life was never really very solid. Always seen a lot of things that she shouldn't have seen, probably, as a young girl growing up. I remember how that girl, fun-loving. Everybody loved her. She was a fun-loving girl, but oh, she got to a certain age and she just wanted to have fun, fun, fun. She went out doing everything that she could do to have fun, fun, fun. And I still remember, because she ended up being the homecoming queen. And I still remember the pictures of her. She was as high as she could be that night. She had her pretty dress on and her crown on and her eyes was red. And she had been doing what she did. And I remember seeing a picture of her, and the Secretary of State of West Virginia had kind of presented her with the whatever and had her picture taken. And she was just as high as she could be. And I, talking to her brother several months ago, and he told me, she was almost totally dysfunctional in anything. She can't, almost no body function. I think her face is even messed up. She had done drugs until they affected her to, as a very young woman, she was pretty much gone, fried. And this was the time she was in her 20s. I think they wheel her around in a wheelchair, do that kind of stuff. And he spoke, and her brother just spoke boldly to me and said, it was the drugs that done it to her. She'd done it with drugs. That's what made her in the situation that she's in. And I think one poor young girl that never knew of anything better, that was eat up by the sin of this world. And we have multitudes of our young people coming to that same age. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. But this is the one. This is the one that opens the prison door and says to everyone out there, and if you're here today and you got a bag of ashes, you look and say, my life is burnt out. I run the gamut. And now my life is ashes. You know, the Lord says, I'll make you a swap. What deal? What other deal would anybody make you to where you could bring absolute worthlessness to Him and He'll trade you beauty for ashes? I will return to you a quality existence. I'll give you not only a quality existence of integrity and honor here in this life, but I will for those ashes. All you got to do is bring ashes. See, you can't bring gold. If you got gold, you wouldn't get rid of it. But when you get down to ashes, the Lord knows now, I've got some bargaining power. You bring your ashes. When it becomes, gold can be ashes if you recognize it. But you bring your ashes, and I'll trade you eternal beauty. What a trade. What a trade today. He wants to restore all the way back to the original mind of creation. He wants to trade beauty for ashes. Song 204. In the Evening Light songs. The title of it is, Jesus Makes Me Whole. I just want to read a little bit of it. It says, I hear celestial music strains resounding everywhere. Their tidings fill Judea's plains that Christ our sins did bear. Yes, 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 my heart from sin is freed. Yes, free indeed. And the chorus, 'tis Jesus makes, yes, makes me whole. 'Tis Jesus makes, yes, makes me whole. My care and all on Him I roll. He fully saves my soul. Shall I defeat His gracious plan and cast away His love? Since He thus gave His life for man that we may live above? No, no, no. Thy love I do receive. Thy love receive. I'm in the precious healing stream. 'Tis flowing o'er my soul. From every stain I now am clean. 'Tis Jesus makes me whole. Yes, yes, yes. The blood it cleanseth me. Yes, cleanseth me. In this pure stream I will abide. It flows for you and me. From Jesus' deeply wounded side, the stream from Calvary. Yes, yes, yes. I see the dying Lamb, His child I am. It's up to you today to decide to choose the Lord or to neglect Him. You can be as the one that was called Legion, that was returned back to his right mind, or you can be as one that heard swine, that says to Jesus, depart from my coast. But the warning, if you say to Him, depart from my coast, He'll leave. Don't forget that. He'll leave. You pray for me.